All right, that was about 5 minutes. Let's get back to our sermon for today. The title is Looking Back to Look Ahead. I want to pray, and then let's get into our message. Bow your heads with me as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we just want to thank you for the blessings of life. We want to thank you for the change in the weather, Lord. We continue to pray for those that have been affected by the bushfires. But Lord, as we take a moment right now to delve into your word, may you hide the messenger behind the message and behind the cross of Calvary, that any and all glory goes back to you and to you alone. I ask that you would not just open our hearts, but you would open our minds as we open your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our theme this quarter is reflections. Nadia started off our sermon last week by talking about looking under the hood. You know, to be perfectly honest, I know that a number of people actually are away still, and I know that it will be natural for us to get visitors this Sabbath, but I wanted to go ahead and preach this sermon anyway. In fact, it's going to be less of a sermon, but more of a New Year's challenge, and you'll see why in just a moment. So when Nadia talked about looking under the hood, there are three things that happen. This is a summary of last week's sermon. When we look under the hood, it is a challenge on a personal level. When we look under the hood, we take our eyes off others, we face our fears and realize our need, and we find an opportunity to let God in. So we're talking about examining ourselves, but that's not always easy. Because it's much easier to point out the faults of others and to find out what's wrong with them than to go, maybe I'm at fault here. It's always easier to, I guess, be the victim. It's always somebody else's fault. Sure, I had my part to play, but if so-and-so didn't do this. So the challenge was to maybe reflect and to look upon our own personal journeys and our own lives and see what parts do we have to play. Now, as difficult as it is, as much as we don't like to look under the hood of our lives to look at how we can grow, the ironic thing is the one who gains the most when we examine ourselves is actually us. For today's sermon, we will look at a passage in the book of Numbers. Is a passage that's actually Exodus and Numbers, actually. It's a passage that's familiar to us that I've touched on before. But because we are looking at reflections, I want to start at least the first half of the sermon with a bit of reflecting. Is that okay? Good, thank you. I've been here for 3 years now. This is my fourth year. And there are a few things that we've done together as a church family. Some of you are new, some of you have just come, some of you are visiting today, and you'll be going to your home churches. But regardless, I pray that you would, even if you go back to your home churches, you would take a check of, I guess, a checklist or a what's the word I'm looking for? Inventory, I guess, of how the past year has been. And I want to do that with the Wantona, specifically church family, right now. Here's a little trade secret. Some of you know this. When I first started at Wantona, I actually had a five-year plan of what I wanted to achieve. So I didn't necessarily share this with the church at large, not because it was a secret. I did share it with Sylvia, the associate pastor then, and then the elders, but I finally shared this with the board and the business meeting last year. So this is the fourth year now. Last year was the third year. It wasn't a secret per se, and I would have gladly told anyone who asked me, but I thought it'd be easier to simply just wait, because it's hard to announce and implement a plan without knowing the church. So this is what the five-year plan, or in some ways, the five-year pastoral church ministry stages, okay? You'd be surprised if you're visiting from another church, your pastor may have the same thing, but he or she may not have told you. Go and ask them, what's your five-year plan for the church? Well, let me show you. In the first year was just a getting-to-know stage. So we're talking about visitation either in your homes or getting to visitation here in church, getting to know who's who and what's what, figuring things out, learning key strengths and area of focus, what can be changed and what can't. So there's very little implementation and very little change at this stage. Some pastors like to come in with guns blazing. I'm not the kind of pastor who likes to do that. I just want to get to know the church. In year two, we talk about how to discuss and implement some of these changes, okay? Training, set groundwork to change if necessary, overcoming barriers, setting focus, set strategies in place. So the purpose statement, where we are going to put our energies. Now, 2018 is also the year where we put together our mission, our purpose statement. Want to know, church family, what is our mission and our purpose statement? To know Jesus and to live His love, okay? If you remember, we did a little Lego bricks thing and we had a brainstorming session and we had to, I guess, trying to figure out which one was the favorite. Now, let me ask you this question. What was our purpose statement before the current one? Some of you, you're visiting, that's okay. But if you've been attending church for a very long time, some of you have, what was our purpose statement before to know Jesus and to live His love? Very good, Will. Awesome. Now, that was a good statement, in fact. But the question then comes, where are we going to put our energies? So if you think about this, to know Jesus and to live His love is not that different from our previous purpose statement of to connect with each other, to connect to God, and to connect to the community. But to put your energies where, I guess, to put your words where your mouth is, to put your actions where your mouth is, you know the saying, will drive the church specifically. So, year three became the time for action. And we did a number of things. It is the doing side of things. We launch and implement plans. What will be the thing that drives us individually as a church? What will we spend our time, energy, and resources on? Here's a little secret. I might get in trouble for saying this, but I'll say it anyway because you all love me. Most pastors don't get past year two because there is an incompatibility in trying to navigate these changes. Okay? Not necessarily an unwillingness, because every pastor is willing, every congregation is willing, but sometimes just an incompatibility, and they struggle through the third year, and so on and so forth. I'm staying for at least another 2 years. Is that okay? Good, thank you. But we did a number of things last year. We had a lot happen. Sometimes you might almost think it's too much. Now, as Sylvia, before she left, we put together the long newsletter summary, and I want to read through that relatively quickly. Now, some of you who are visiting are like, you guys did that? I mean, like, do you really? Well, let's just see what we did, and you tell me what you think, okay? I'm actually going to read the newsletter summary, the excerpt of that bit where Sylvia primarily wrote it, and then the two of us just kind of worked on it and added things. In 2019, we kicked off with a quarter one theme of On Your Mark, Get Set. We were embracing and acknowledging that we were embarking on a big year. Planning for Revelation Today was well underway. Book club started with a ripper book. The X-29 squad fired up again, and we were super excited for God, for what God wanted to do in 2019. We also found time to get together for some sun, fun, and fellowship with a church social barbecue at Fairfield Park. In the second quarter themed Go, many volunteers from around Melbourne and many from Wantirna particularly got involved with Revelation Today, from the kids' programs to prayer team, car park, greeting, registration, and of course, me as the host. We were all in and we really did go. During this time, we also launched the Shake and Shine projects and so began our official partnership with the Knox Council in providing monthly support for food parcels and of course buying Knox InfoLink a new freezer. As a church, we really pulled together in quarter two to keep the momentum going post the meetings in May. We ensured weekly loose end lunches in June and then a special sermon series called Pictures of Faith. There was a huge highlight, and it was also so fantastic to preach sermons on our core beliefs. The church social team also got us together for a trivia night. We're only halfway through the year, okay? I'm going to keep reading. Quarter three seemed to zip past in the blink of an eye. I love the way we use technology to try something new with weaker prayer. We continue to preach our core beliefs. Book club, camp meeting, and disagreeing on books, and we were blessed with a variety of guest preachers such as all of those folks. During this time, we talked about the possibility of upgrading our church foyer so we can be more welcoming and open. This last quarter in 2019 has been the quickest of all, with a sermon series on Daniel, Pathfinders, Adventurers, the Regional Social Evening, Christmas Program, Knox Community Christmas Support, where the community in need over Christmas could come and collect food hampers, and all of that stuff. Let's not forget Road to Bethlehem, the 80 to 90 people. We talked about the Balalava Project, and we were involving Carols on the Lawn. Five people made decisions for Jesus throughout the year. Pathfinders, Adventurers, Playgroup, Friendship Group, Catering, Tuesday Night Cell Group, Young Adults Life Group, Social Events, and our deacons, deaconesses, treasury team, our AV team, our Sabbath school teachers, and leaders, our worship team, week in and week out. We rally to support those and pray for those who have been sick, hospitalized, and in need. We have been truly a family that looks after and love each other. We've been a church living in his mission statement to know Jesus and to live his love. I apologize, Marlene, for speaking too fast. Can I say that again? So we can look at all of that and go, pat ourselves on the back and go, good job, One Turner Church. Good job, Yoshi, for telling everyone here who are visiting what a glorious and wonderful year we had. Look at all that we did. Visitors, are you impressed? But this year is the year to sit back and reflect. Because in year four, we want to continue with our plans. But we also want to look at the review process and the feasibility of what we're doing, why we're doing. Are we just doing too much for the sake of doing it? Are we just giving Yoshi enough material to put in the newsletter? What does 2020 actually hold for us? I'm going to challenge some of our department leaders to look at, a self-assessment or a review process. Because in year five, especially, we're going to reformulate a plan on new focus. Should we keep going as it is? Do we review again in 2 years? Or do we start the year two process again as necessary? You know, some of you will look at this and go, that looks relatively nice on paper. I mean, you have a nice report. This is the kind of report I submit to my conference president, and he goes, good job, Yoshi. Even though I didn't do a lot of it, but that's besides the point. But the question, One Turner Church, the challenge, the biggest thing, I'm going to drop all of this, and I want to give you the same challenge I gave at the start of 2017. 3 months, April, into my church time here. After Sylvia and I had met with the elders, I saw the potential of us as a church and what we could specifically achieve. And yes, that point in time, it became clear to me. I'm scared to say this, but I will. April 2017, it became clear to me that as a church, we can be so much more than, I'm just going to say it, dare I say it, the music, the organ, the curtains, the drums, the lights. We can be so much more than that. And if you're visiting from another church, your church can be as well. And it took us as a church family a good 18 months to 2 years to look past, to work past some of these challenges. And even back then, April 2017, I believed very strongly that as a church, One Turner had this potential. In 2022, in 5 years, you guys remember this? To be a healthy, vibrant, Christ-centered community that is outward-looking and inward-nurturing. Well, this could really define any of the churches that you're going to, but I'm talking about specifically One Turner here. I believe in 5 years we could be this and be ready to plant a church. you can say amen. But here's the thing. We need to do it together. Some of you are visiting, like I said, some of you have been visiting for a very long time. Some of you are here for the first time. But regardless of whether you've been here 20 years, 20 months, 20 days, 20 hours, 20 minutes, we have to do it together. Some of you will look at this and go, that's nice, but I'll believe it when I see it. Because that's, yeah. Not looking at anyone, but I'll just say this. That's not actually how God works. Imagine if people said, I'll believe it when it actually happens. The way God works, especially when it comes to His promises, when it comes to fulfilling the very basic command of what it means to be a church family, we need to believe so we can see it. In many ways, we need to look back in order to look forward. We need to remember what God has done so that we can anticipate what God will do. So case in point, as we come to the second half of our sermon today, it's a story that a number of us are familiar with. In Exodus chapter 13, verses 4 to 5, today in the month of Abib, you are leaving when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land He swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony in this month. So this promise, this land flowing with milk and honey, is a promise that God made in Exodus chapter 3, specifically verses 8 and 17, when He appeared as the burning bush. You are going into a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, did they know it in their head? Did they go, that's a nice thing to do? Well, they did. But in Exodus chapter 14, just in case they've forgotten, God parts the Red Sea. And then Exodus chapter 15, there is the Song of Miriam and Moses. In chapter 16, they started to complain already, but there was the miracle of the manna and the quail. And in Exodus chapter 17, it was the story of the water that came out from the rock. I don't have time to preach on any of these, but they still complain. And I'm going to fast forward now to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13, verses 21 to 31. We're going to read that entire verse, but I'm going to stop at a couple of verses along the way. So they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Ahiman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan and Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between the two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. Verse 25, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. I'm going to pause there before I keep going up to verse 31. They haven't even heard the report yet. Now, the story is one that we have told to kids. If you've been attending kids Sabbath school, the cluster of grapes was so big that they had to carry it on a pole between two people. Now, imagine if you saw grapes the size of apples and you're like, wow! That's what we're anticipating. They're waiting with bated breath on the actual report that was going to happen. In fact, that's what happens next. And they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. And guys, check this out. Like, take a bite of this grape. So the promises looked good. It's the kind of stuff that you would read on the front of a bulletin and the kind of plans that you would put down and submit to the conference and to the union and say, this is a good report. This looks good. We can submit that and we can say, looks good. But there's always a but, isn't there? It looks good. We've done our report. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea and along the Jordan. Oh, in theory, that sounds nice. But Yoshi, let me tell you about the challenges that we have. You don't know this region. It's difficult. There are giants there. You don't know our church history. In fact, I do. And that's why I believe we can do the things that God has called us to do. The cause of their fear came down to one thing, I believe. They had forgotten to focus on God. They were looking at their own strength instead of God's. And instead of encouraging each other, working together, they were sowing dissension. And they were being, I'm going to teach you a new term that I once heard a pastor teach me, another pastor. They were being hosers. You know what a hoser is? You know, this pastor, I can't remember his name, actually described it this way. Whenever you have a good idea, the hosers will come and hose it down. And give you all the reasons why it wouldn't work. I'm going to stop there and keep moving. For the Jews, there was still good news. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." There are actually two sides here. Crunch time, right? One, choose to believe that God has incredible plans for his church, for One Turner Church and for his church at large. Who choose to believe that, yes, there are challenges, but by God's grace, by working together, by encouraging each other, we can overcome. And then on the other side, there are hoses. Church, my challenge to you today is very simple. Whether you belong to this church or not, which side are you going to be on? How can we take 2020 and make it the year for God and His church? And how can we take another step closer to this? I feel like our motto for 2020 should be, don't be a hoser. I know it's a bit of a lull period right now. A number of our church members are away and traveling. In fact, our first board meeting isn't until towards the end of January. Dan, our new associate pastor, and I, we met, as you know, just before Christmas. While he was still on leave, he was that excited. But we are actually going to meet again on January 14th. Paul, our head elder, and Ben, our associate head elder, we're catching up the next couple of weeks when Paul gets back. And you know what? Yeah, Nadia and I, we're going to actually be away for a couple of weeks in February and maybe even sometime later in the year. But here's the thing though, church family. The church is more than just the pastor and some of its leaders. The church is every single one of you here. I want to invite you to start thinking about 2020, about what you think God can and will do. Last week, Nadia talked about a personal challenge. This week, I'm talking about a corporate challenge. If we truly look back at what He has already done for us, we can have so much to look forward to. I want to close with a video. Not your typical video, I'll admit. I want you to look at this video. That is a wall. How high do you think that wall is? That's a man right there. 6 meters? 5 meters? Probably 5 meters? I want to ask you, is it possible to get four men to start from where this guy is and all four of them up to the top without any equipment? I want to give you a moment just for you to picture in your head how, there's no tricks, how you think it's possible for four men of average build. I'm not talking about one man getting up to the top and he just pulls three guys up, because that's literally impossible. Okay? Now I want you to look at that and tell me, can you figure out a way in which you can get four men up to the top? Now you think, oh, that's easy. Well, once you get, you can go, the first man, you can just pile one on top and the first man can get up to the top. The second guy gets to the top, but now you have your two guys up here. How are you going to get the two guys at the bottom to get back to the up to the top? I'm going to give you 5 seconds to see if you can come up with a plan. You think it's possible? Well, of course, because I'm going to show you a video on how it's done, right? 2 minutes video. Let's have a look. Oh, by the way, I was going to cheat. These little bits here are actually cracks in the wall where we can serve as handholds. Does that make it easier? Oh, really? It does. It does actually make it easier, but it is slightly cheating. But look at that. Watch how they do it. That was easy. So I'm going to get Brian and Luke and Josh, the four of us, I'm going to go try. Here's how we do it, church family. We do it together. We do it by lifting and encouraging and pulling each other up. And some will need to be pulled up. Some will be stronger than others. And some will need to be pulled up the entire year. But it's not up to one person. It's not up all of them. You couldn't tell who was the strongest. But they all had their parts to play. Church family, I want to invite you to keep our eyes on Jesus, to do it together. Here's to 2020. Here's to not focusing on the obstacles or the wall or whatever else that could distract us. Here's to focusing on Jesus together. Let's sing in close.